How are you? I never do this. I never preach three times in a row. Our church, we have a millennial church. Average age in our church is about 25. Most people on Sunday are getting up around like 2 p.m. They're getting up around 2 p.m. And our service on Sundays at 4 p.m., guys. We have one service at 4 p.m. Some of you guys are like, I would go to that service. Yeah, you know what's funny? You don't know what's funny? They're still late. Our people will probably be watching this, right? Is that what our pastor thinks of us? Well, it's a privilege and an honor for us. My associates, Isaac and Sung, are here. If we can give them a big hand. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I'm here because, honestly, I love you guys. But really, it's Pastor Sam. Pastor Sam is my pastor. For over the years, even when I would say no to invitations because of, you know, I have four kids at home. My wife and I, we're busy. You know, we're busy with church and stuff. When my pastor calls me, I'm coming. Amen? And so it's my way of saying thank you to my pastor. And also thank you to you. You are a church that has influenced a church way across the ocean in California. You probably don't know, but we talk about you. We use you in our illustrations. When Pastor Sam comes, he brags about you. You guys are always probably getting scolded by him. But when he comes to our church, he is so proud to be your pastor. And it has influenced us, your radical life for God, your quiet life, your devotion, your private holiness, and your public expression of the kingdom of God has truly impacted other tribes around the world. So know that your work and your service to the king is not in vain. Can I get an amen? Amen. Somebody, can I get an amen? Amen? All right, so how about we pray, yeah? Come on, we're going to do this. The last service of the day. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I want some Peking duck, Lord. Goodness. Let's pray. My God. Father, help. Help me, Lord. Give me your strength. God, give all of us your strength. God, may it not be just another word. May it not be just another Sunday. Father, we need your power to even do the simple things you've commanded us to do. We cannot live this life without you. So Lord, know today we acknowledge you. We acknowledge our need of you, Father. Send down your rain. Send down your power. God, I think sometimes, Lord, we settle. We think, the best years have passed. But Lord, I prophesy in Jesus' name for SP that the best years are coming for you in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord, we welcome you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew. I think it's Matthew. Chapter 28. I switched it. I had a message, but I really felt this was a word for you guys. I have a bone to pick with Western religious philosophy and practices. And I want to undo that if it's on any of us today. Matthew 20, it says this. Therefore, you guys all should know this. Therefore, go and make disciples of one nation. I'm just kidding. Look at you guys. Does it really say one nation? No, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What is the task at hand? What is the task at hand for every Christian, church? Is it just to go around converting people? Is it just to go around trying to convince people to convert, to leave one religion and jump onto another faith group? What is the task of a Christ follower, people? The task is this: teaching them to do. Everyone say do. To do everything, to obey, do everything I have commanded you. obedience, doing. But you look at the average Christian life and you talk about what we do in the hours that we do Christian things, most of the time our hours are packed with what? Not obeying, not doing, not practicing. What is it packed with? Discussions. What do you think this text says? I don't know. What do you think it is? Well, I don't know. What do you think it is? Well, I don't know. What do you think it is? Well, how about we look up a commentary on this? Oh, that's what he says. Do you believe it? I don't know. Do you believe it? I don't know. Do you? He believes it. It must be true. That was a great moment of following Jesus. I'll see you next week. Hey, brother. So good to see you again. Let's do some Christian stuff. Are you ready? Yeah. What do? Sit down. What do now? We're going to open up this book. What do now? We're going to read it and discuss it. Oh, okay. We got rid of it. What do you think? I don't know. Most of our Christian life, let's be honest. I think a lot of people are not afraid of God, afraid to get to know God. I think a lot of people don't want to be Christian because it looks boring. Like, really, like, if you know, I signed up for, my sport that I do is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's martial arts, it's grappling, it's what you see at the UFC fight. You know, I don't do the punching, but you're around on the floor, rolling around, wrestling. Imagine if I signed up for this sport and I showed up to class first day and all they did was sit around on the mat and they discussed how powerful this is. How amazing this could be someday. I'm going to tell you a story. One day I was in my jiu-jitsu class. And after every class, we line up in a row like this. And we all line up based on our rank. Do you guys know about this? So in martial arts, you line up in your rank. And so I was probably way at the end of the line. So at the time, I was, I think, white belt, and I was standing there. And what we do is at the end, we slap our legs like this, and we bow down. The first person we bow down to, all of us, is this black and white picture on the wall. And the black and white picture is of the founder of this way. This way, this life, this practice called jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. This man is on that wall, and he's looking all tough. He's like black and white, and he's black belt, and he's the guy that founded it. So all of us pays respect to this guy, who is dead, by the way. We bow, and then we turn to our master. We call him professor, right? And we bow to our professor, who is alive because he has to teach us, right? And then that'd be freaky. And then we go around and we shake hands from top rank to the bottom rank, everybody that's there. Now I noticed as I'm doing this every week, every day, we bow, boom. And as I'm bowing, one day I noticed there's a guy next to me who never bows. Every time it's bowing time, he's like this. Mm-mm, I ain't bowing, right? And one day he finds out that I'm a Christian. And then I don't even know how he found out, but he found out that I was a pastor. And this boy is a Christian. He Christian, y'all. He goes to some church in our town. And one day as we're bowing, this time I notice he's not bowing, and he's not just bowing, not just not bowing, he's staring at me. And I said, boy, you better not be staring at me, man. I'm going to knock you out in the next gym time. This boy, what is he doing, man? I was like all getting bothered. And so I can tell he wanted to go engage in a mental jiu-jitsu battle with me. So I ran off. So I was like, I don't have time for you. I got people in my church to deal with, man. I don't want to deal with you. So I ran off, and I was changing, you know. And then as I'm changing in the gym, he walks right up to me. Very uncomfortable, right? Walks right up to me. He goes, hey, Brian. I'm like, hey. He goes, I heard you're a Christian. And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian, right? I'm changing. I'm a Christian. So uncomfortable. Who talks like that in a gym? Who talks like that in a locker room, right? I'm like, I'm Christian, right? And then he goes, I also hear you are pastor. And I went, yeah, I'm a pastor. And he goes, pastor of Echo Church, I heard, Echo Church, right? And I went, yeah. And he goes, can I have some tea with you? First of all, it's weird. We just sweat like crazy. And he wants to go and have hot tea, right? I'm like, tea? Really? And he goes, yeah, I'd like to buy you some tea because I'm struggling with some stuff. And I want to talk to you. So I'm thinking this guy's inviting me to his faith struggles. So as a pastor, I'm thinking, I'm going to make myself available. So I go with him to this tea shop, right? Tea cafe. And we're sitting there and I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's on your mind? Right? And he looks at me and I realize what this conversation was about. He brought me there to attack me. How many guys know, don't be attacking pastors? Because we will beat you. Oh, yeah. We're all nice on the pulpit. I will beat him. Watch. He goes like this. He goes, so you're a Christian, right? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you're a pastor, right? Yeah. He goes, well, I got a bone to pick with you. And I went, uh-oh. He goes, how is it that you as a Christian, what do you think he's going to say, guys? How is it that you as a Christian and you as a pastor can bow down every day you're in here and bow down to that picture, that idol? He called it idol. Isn't this like ancestral worship? First of all, he ain't my ancestor, right? I'm like, do I look Brazilian to you? Like, it's ancestor worship. It's like ancestor worship. And I think this is wrong that a pastor is bowing down to a picture of a dead man. How could you bow down? How could you bow down? I was so mad. I was like, I'm gonna so choke you out right now in the spirit. He don't know what he invited me into. So I said, you think I'm idol worship? Oh no, okay. Can I ask you some questions before I answer your question? And he thinks he has me cornered. He's like, ask me anything you want, Pastor Brian, because if you notice, I never bow down. I never bow down to that picture. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I said, oh, follower of Jesus. Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's talk about something else for a second. He's like, okay. I said, young man, do you love jiu-jitsu? And he said, yeah. Obviously, I'm higher belt than you, right? So I said, yeah, you're good. I see you rolling around. I see you. Yeah, you're good. And I said, but prove it to me. I said, do you ever think about jiu-jitsu after class? And you should have seen his eyes just lit up. Just, do I think about jiu-jitsu after class? Pastor Brian, you know, right after class, I go home, take a shower, take out my laptop, go on YouTube, and look up more jiu-jitsu moves. I said, really? You look up jiu-jitsu moves after jiu-jitsu class? And he goes, yeah, don't you? And I went, no. I just did jiu-jitsu. I'm done for the day. And he goes, really? I said, tell me more. What else do you do online then? He goes, oh, you want to know? I go on YouTube and look up more moves. And then I also look up moves that defeated me that day. And I look for ways to counter that move so the next time I battle in practice, I can beat all them boos, right? I said, wow, that's a good student. And I said, what else do you do? Well, this is what he says. I bought some mats of my own, you know, those soft mats, like wrestling mats. And I host jiu-jitsu parties. Who is hosting jiu-jitsu parties? I said, really? This is why you don't have a girlfriend, right? And he's like, He rolls out his mat and he calls his buddies and they fight again that night. I said, how many times do you do that? He says, Ali, on a good week, like 3 times. On a bad week, when I'm having a really stressful week, 2 times. I said, wow. So you roll in the morning with me, you go home and you study the ways of this martial art. And then at night you host your own again and do drills. So I said, all right, I have one last question for you. He's like, ask it. And he's wondering, how is this connecting with anything I have just accused you of? I said, here's the deal. What's one of your big dreams in life? And what do you think he said? Someday, I want to open up my own jiu-jitsu gym. I said, wow. I'm going to say something to you, man. You know why I bowed to that guy up on that wall? Because I'm fat. And this brother who died a long time ago created a way that helps me lose weight. I am so thankful to that Brazilian man that after I sweat like crazy, because here's why I do jiu-jitsu. I hate working out. I'm not like Pastor Sam that likes to go out every chance he gets to work out and dominate on the courts, right? Like, I'm not that guy. I'm very not competitive. So I had to find a way to sweat. And when you have somebody choking you, you're going to move your body. So I figured out, this is my sport. Somebody's choking me, you move. And you go, oh, I sweat. Yeah. Right? And so I said, the reason I bow is to pay respects to this system of ways of doing things that helps me exercise. And I'm so thankful for this martial art. But you know, between you and I am a fan. You are an apprentice. I am a fan. You are an apprentice. Because at a drop notice, at a moment's notice, if something ever happened, and the moment where we had to defend ourselves happened right here, right now, somebody came in, some thieves came in and tried to mess with us. Between you and I, you will be able to execute the moves of that master who died better than I. Which tells me you are the true worshiper of this way. Moded, right? Absolutely. The guy just looked at me like, what? What? And I say, exactly. You think I'm a worshiper because I bowed. I think you're the true worshiper because you obey. You see, Christians, you, in many ways, have been trained to believe you are an apprentice of Christ because you study the way, look at it, right? Discuss it. There has to come a day when you actually try the very things Jesus has taught. But many of you have grown up in, say, charismatic or Pentecostal circles. And again, I grew up in it too. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a charismatic. I'm a spirit-filled believer. And I believe and I treasure the Rhema word of God. When God speaks to me out of nowhere and with that unction and power, I'm able to do something that I normally cannot do. So I believe in all that. But I think what we're missing in the charismatic world or in the spirit-filled world, if you may, is we have so put a value on these amazing spirit-voiced moments, spirit-led moments, that the rest of our lives we're missing out living the way, period. We are now just a moment Christian. This moment God moved in my life. This moment God moving in my life, but there has been no drills, no disciplines, and no habits set in our life that if anyone ever looked at your life, they would not know if you are a Christ follower. They would have to only get the highlights of your life. But you know, any athlete will tell you, any sportsman will tell you, hey, the reason I'm able to provide those highlights for you that you watch on your ESPN channel is because I practice the way of my coach every single day. You have been asked this question. Man, when was the last miracle or prophetic or crazy Holy Spirit moment you experienced? And you'll tell me like, well, 2015, 2014, and you'll tell me these moments. But I have another question I need you to ask yourself right now. You look at this last month, and I want you to be honest with yourself. If we were looking at a calendar of your life, tell me right now, which days of the week have you gone to the spiritual gym of Christ and learned the way of Christ and actually implemented it in your life? Tell me right now. Because we can do it with your money, right? If you're all tithers and givers, we look at your checkbook and we can see that you have made a habit of giving your money to the Lord as a sign of faith and thanksgiving. How come we can't do that with your time? How come we get, if I go to my gym right now, my professor, my coach, my master has my attendance card and it shows how many times I came in that week to practice the way of this art form. Did you know when Christianity was birthed and it started taking over the world, it was not called Christianity. It was called the way. It was called the way, meaning people lived a certain way that was alternative to the worldly way, meaning their regular habit of living was absolutely different than the way the world did. And you're asking me right now, but isn't it more important that we are of the Spirit and God transforms the world when we're empowered with the Spirit of God and we do these miraculous things for God? I have a word for you. Yes, the church was birthed by the power of the Spirit, breathing on the church, but the church transformed the world with Christ-like living in mundane days. You don't believe me? I want you to, I'm gonna end here real soon. I'm going to do a quick one for you because I'm tired. I'm tired. Listen to me. You guys are like, no. We need to pray for revival. I have people. I grew up going to all these services where they ask God for revival. God, will you send down your powerful rain? Send it down. And somehow the world is going to, it's the rain. It's the Spirit. And then somehow your neighbor's going to fly out of their homes and go, tell me about Jesus. Because I just felt the spiritual rain that you were singing about. Nobody ever did that. Nobody ever did that. Have they ever done that to you? I come home from church after having a miracle service. I come home and my neighbors still look at me like I'm weird. Like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does the world need? They need Christians who are empowered enough to actually take the ways of Christ seriously. So I'll give you a case in point. In my church, I got so tired of guys just looking for rhema words rather than practicing the logos word. They didn't do the drills. So their character hasn't changed. Their lifestyle hasn't changed. They still deal with all sorts of bad habits and issues. They are not forming into Christ-likeness. They just keep asking for power and change. So I had enough. So I started this discipleship program called Jesus Moves. And I started at a jiu-jitsu gym, okay? And I said to all my boys, all my guys in our church, I said, anybody who wants to come out, you can come out and you can roll with your pastor. This is your one chance to roll with me and choke me out. Do you ever want to choke me out? And they're like, yes, I'm signing up for that, right? So we had all these guys sign up for jiu-jitsu nights, right? And these guys were a part of it. And I said, here's the one catch, though. If you show up at the end of every night, okay, so watch this. I'm going to teach you one jiu-jitsu move, right? You have to learn an actual move. And then you have to practice the move that day. So we're all going to wrestle and get sweaty and nasty and all over each other, okay? You're going to learn to fight. You're going to really learn to fight. But afterwards, we're also going to learn one Jesus move. And here's what a Jesus move is. We're going to study every command that he's given in the Gospels. And every week, you're going to do one. And next, in the following week, you're going to come back and tell us a story of how it impacted you when you actually tried one of the teachings of Christ in your real life. That's called an apprentice, guys. That's called a student. You should have seen these guys. They came, and at first they were skeptical, like, really? Like, we're going to actually turn the other cheek? We're going to actually forgive. We're going to actually look for those that have been offended by us. Because Jesus actually says in one of his moves or commands, don't even come to the altar of God. If you know somebody's offended by you, he says, go back. Here's a command. Go back and actually reconcile with that person, because your sacrifice at the altar of God would not even be considered by the Father. So we, like, for instance, that move, we study that move. It's called reconciliation, guys. So I said, this week, I want you to find somebody you got, the Holy Spirit puts in your heart that you believe was offended by you. And I want you to practice the art of apology. And they were like, really? Like, this week we have to do it? Yes, it's a practice. Because someday the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, and you need to be able to obey right away. But if you don't make it a habit of listening and practicing the written word of God, you will not have the muscles and the muscle memory to do it and obey right away when he speaks to you through his Spirit. So you should have seen it. These guys went back. Like that one move, they went back and they went to their offices, workplace, families, and they looked for everyone they believed was probably offended by them for something. It was amazing. And my guys went up to these friends of theirs and coworkers and actually initiated an apology. They said, you know, Jesus, I am a follower of Jesus. I just love it. I am a follower of Jesus. And they're showing people now. And the person is like, oh, are you going to try to convert me? No, no, no. I'm trying to practice the teaching of my master. Oh, what are you going to do on me? What are you going to do right now? And the guy goes, one of my guys goes, well, I think I offended you the other day because, you know, I'm your manager, and I think the way I talked to you probably hurt you or offended you. And my master teaches that if anyone is offended by me, that I should go and make amends so that I can worship my Father in heaven in peace. Breakthrough, reconciliation, more respect for this Christ follower. Now he's earned a voice in his world. Nobody liked this message, I know. You can go online and listen to the other two. But I do believe this may be one of the most needed messages in the church today. We know too much and do too little. We don't do enough drills. We don't do enough exercises in the way, the Christ way. So you still don't believe me, so I'll end with this. I still believe, Pastor Brian, that it's the Spirit of God anointing the church with supernatural power that transforms the world. I know, I know. I know he's done that. But I want to show you. Do you know that when historians study the early church and how it began like a virus to spread across the world, there is one country, there is one nation that they talk about the most that had to be toppled, that had to be won in order for Christianity to spread like a virus. And what nation was that in the early church, guys? Nobody. Rome. The Roman nation under Caesar, that nation had to be dealt with in order for Christianity to spread. And how did God win Rome? You think it was just or always some super? Yes, of course there's supernatural moments, guys. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. And we can also theologically argue that even our desire to practice the way or the Christ way is a supernatural desire given to us. So yes, I agree. But it doesn't excuse us from actually being people of discipline, people of the way. And so when historians study, Where did the beginning of the transformation of Rome to a Christian nation come from? They start studying all the way back in history around 3rd century, and they find this plague that occurred in Rome. I think it's if I'm not mistaken, it might be called the plague of Cyprian. And this plague just devastated Rome. People were dying, vomiting. People were going blind and deaf. Everybody started dying. And this small minority group in Rome called the Galileans, Galilean followers, they were the Christ followers, guys. It's in the history book from Rome. And they begin to write, the historian, Roman historians begin to write about these followers of the Galilean who, when all the priests and politicians, all the rich began to leave Rome because they didn't want to be infected by people with these diseases. Did you know in Rome that even when their children got sick, they didn't touch their kids, they kicked their kids out and protected themselves? This is how self-centered Rome was. This is how much they valued their own selves, even over their children. This is the kind of culture that these Galilean followers were at, Christ followers. And the Roman historians will write, even our own politicians and judges and priests, we see them abandoning the city. But they say, but there's a small minority, the followers, they call them the impious followers of the Galilean. They remained. And he said, many of them initially got sick. And now modern historians say what probably happened was because so many Christians stayed for so long to help the sick and the dying of all these viruses, they believe that the Christians actually became immune to the sickness. You didn't catch it. Because they followed the way of, they took seriously the commands of Christ, they stuck it through, they began to serve the sick, the poor, the dying, the outcast, and they started changing, their blood started changing, they started getting immune to the virus, and next thing you know, anybody that was a Christian, they would say, we're surviving the plague. And so Rome, they say, the reason why Rome was toppled by Christianity was not a military might and some supernatural visitation. It was the people of God daily in their mundane days during this great plague did not leave the city but practiced the teachings of Christ every day. And brought, are you sick, kid? You look sick. You're going blind? These Christian parents in Rome will bring them into their home. Even at the risk of their own children, minister to them, tend to their wounds. And historians today now say, Rome was conquered by the impious minority group called the Galilean followers. Let's pray. What do you want to do, SP? Yes, move in your power. Yes, ask God for the supernatural visitation. Yes, let's have it all. But that does not mean you can excuse yourself from being the impious follower of the Galilean in your day-to-day life. You see, some of the things you're looking for in your life, some of the breakthroughs you're looking for, even in your own family, it may not happen from some supernatural visitation. It may happen when you take your faith seriously and actually become a kind person. Actually become a hospitable person. Actually become a forgiving person. Actually do drills called generosity. Do drills called apology. Doing practices and drills called love. Let's pray right now. Just go ahead. Ask God. God, move me beyond discussion to doing. Move me beyond mental faith to actual practice of the way of the Galilean. My master, the great rabbi from Galilee who changes the world even today, who topples empires today through his people. My master, yes, my master, we follow you. We will be the people of the way. More. let's all stand and sing this together, yeah? I want you to sing it in faith, guys. Yes. There in my working,
God in my
God in my speaking,
be my everything, be my everything, be my everything,
be my everything. Yes,
God in my hoping,
there in my dream. God in my watching, God in my waiting,
God in my
laughing, there in my weeping, God in my hurting, God in my healing, be my everything, be my everything. Be my everything, be my everything.
Christ in me,
Christ in me,
Christ in me,
the hope of glory.
You are everything.
Yes, Lord, let's sing it, guys. Christ in me,
Christ in me,
Christ in me,
the hope of glory.
You are my everything,
be my
everything,
be my everything,
be my everything,
be my everything,
yes,
be my everything,
be my everything,
be my everything.
Be my everything. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for some of you. We're going to open up the altar. Pastor Sam's going to come and bless the rest of us. But this is what I want today. Most of the time we come up, we're asking for a word. We're asking for some supernatural visitation. And those are great. Again, those spark a life of faith. But today, I want to invite those of you that are like, you know, I want some stories of my own. I want some testimonies of my own. And not just once in a while in some supernatural thing, but the supernaturally natural days. That my natural days are infused with supernatural desire to follow His ways. I just want to be a real apprentice. I want God to give me that heart. If that's you, I want you to come up. And God's going to show you how to practice His ways. By the way, all of Sam and everyone else's message, they should never just be discussed. There's this designer from Stanford that says, we need to have a bias towards action. Every discussion that you guys now have in your house church, there should be a bias towards action. How then shall we practice this way taught to us this week? Hallelujah. Amen? So come on up. If that's you, I want to be a follower. I want to be a student. I want to be an apprentice. Yeah. I want stories. I want to actually try some of His ways and see if it works. I want to see, does it work to actually turn the other cheek? Does it work to bless and give than just receive? Does it work to make amends and reconcile? Does it work? I want to try it. I want to try it not just once, but every week I want to try this. Yeah. Let's pray, guys.
God in my waking, God.
St. Peter, in his letter, he tells the church, and he basically says a very similar way. He says, practice these things. And he says, if you do that, you'll never stumble. All right, these things are obviously referring to the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple. Practice these things, and you will never stumble. In other words, you'll always find your place. You'll always find your way and your path. And we really want to encourage you that, you know, like Pastor Brian said, it's not just about Sunday. You know, what really matters is what happens tomorrow when you go to work. And hopefully that Sunday, when you come together in the gathered community, that you are empowered, that when you do go to your workplace or your families, that you take Jesus Christ with you in the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside of you, lives inside of me. Amen? You guys keep praying, and if you want to come and you want to help and you want to pray for some of your friends, please feel free to do that. Let me just close the service by giving the benediction, and we'll send you off, but please do continue to go before the Lord. So Lord, we just thank you, God. We've been so blessed. God, I personally feel so enriched, God, from this weekend with your servant, Lord, and well, we pray that the words, God, that were spoken, we believe they're your words, God, and really spoken specifically to our community, God, and so we receive it with humility, God. But we also receive it with a desire to do it, God, to go and be the light, Lord. And so we thank you, Father. We ask you to seal this word in our heart, God, and teach us through it even more so, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom. From this day forward, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.